Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Roto-World Radio 2020 Fantasy Baseball Preview Series. I'm your host, Anthony Agnano. Happy to be with you once again as we help you prepare for your 2020 Fantasy Baseball Draft. In order to do that, guys, head over to rotoballer.com. Check out everything there. The main page, premium package, expert chats, lineup optimizers, whatever it is you're looking for, free or obviously the premium package, which you can save some money using the promotional code ACES. Check out all my great videos there as well. So take advantage of rotoballer.com and Rotoballer Radio, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, 6 to 7 a.m. Monday to Friday. Real Talk Raf, Josh Hage, and myself. And 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon with the legend, the king of fantasy sports, Mr. Scott Angle. So check it out there and make sure you subscribe right here to the Rotoballer YouTube channel and check out all the great content we're providing to help you prepare. And then throughout the fantasy baseball and all year long talking fantasy football as well. All right, we've covered a lot of things over the course of this ADP series that I've been doing a couple of times a week. We've looked at late round power sources, stolen base sources, strikeout sources, whatever it is you're looking for. We've looked at some sophomores, some second year players on the offensive side, guys like Pete Alonso and Eloy Jimenez, and what I thought the good and the bad to expect from them in year two. Well, today we're going to continue with those sophomores. However, we're going to look on the pitching side of things. Some second-year starting pitchers and who has some upside based on their ADP, who has some value, whatever it may be. And I start with Mike Soroka of the Atlanta Braves, 22 years old. His NFBC ADP sits at 83. Puts him in round 6, round 7 in a 12-team league. And there's plenty to like of Mike Soroka. Obviously, he's a player who you could chase wins with. Okay, he won 13 games last season for the Braves. He's on a very good team in a tough National League East. Pitched to a 2.68 ERA with a 3.85 xFIP. I'm okay with that xFIP. A little high compared to the ERA, but not outrageous. Okay, now here's what I didn't like, and that's that strikeout rate, guys. Less than 8 Ks, just over 7 Ks per 9 innings at 7.32. Only striking out 20% of the batters he faced. It's kind of a low number for me. Now, what saves him is that walk rate, just a tad over 2 walks per 9 innings, about 6% of the batters he faces walks. Now, what saves him, besides that low walk rate, is that minuscule home run per 9 inning rate at 0.72. In a day and age where home runs are flying out of every ballpark from every hitter, right, 96 guys had over 20 home runs last year. He gave up less than 1 home run per 9 innings. That's a major number. If you're not going to strike out 8.5 to 9 or 10 batters per 9 innings, you need to keep the ball in the yard. And that's what Mike Soroka did at only at 0.72 home runs per 9 innings. His whip was excellent, 1.11, what you would expect from a guy who only walks 6% of the batters he faces. Batting average against was 234, and his hard contact rate was low at 36%. I'm not concerned about innings. Pitched 174 innings last year. This is a pitcher now who could push that 200-inning number as long as he stays healthy this year. That's big for me and for a young pitcher who's already now at that number. He shouldn't need to be overly protected. He pitches to contact, doesn't throw a lot of pitches because he doesn't strike out a lot of batters, doesn't walk a lot of batters, so he's going to be out on the mound for this young Braves staff and this very good Atlanta Braves team. Strong bullpen there, 13 wins. He can easily duplicate that 13-14 win number. We don't chase wins, but if they're there, we got to take them. Soroka on a defending first place team can get you those wins. He's sitting there in round 6 or 7. Now, here's my only catch. He's not my number one. I can't draft him in that round as my first starter. Not enough strikeout potential. What you're going to need to do is then chase strikeouts later in the draft. And I mentioned some strikeout pitchers in my late round strikeout value plays. You would have to chase those Ks later in the draft if you go with Soroka as your first fantasy starter. If he's your number two, if you do what I do and you invest in that ace type of pitcher in round two, okay, that strong, that Mike Clevinger, that Walker Buehler in early round two. If you're willing to go there for your first starter, then Mike Soroka as your second starter, round 6, round 7, keeps the ERA down, keeps the whip down, keeps the ball in the ballpark. I'm all for Mike Soroka at that point. Second starting pitcher on my list, Chris Paddock of the San Diego Padres. A guy who came into last year on a tremendous hype train, coming up from Double A right to the big leagues with a big, big power arm. And you saw that early and often. He had a K rate of 9.79 strikeouts per nine innings last year. 27% of the batters he faced. And then you double down on that with the best walk rate of any of the pitchers on my list today at less than two walks per nine innings, 1.98, 5.5% of the batters he faces. Chris Paddock is going at overall ADP on the in the NFBC at 56. It's a round four, round five draft pick. Essentially could be the first pitcher you take. Pitched to a 3.33 ERA last year with a 4.05 xFIP. Now, his first half, second half splits, he tired down the stretch. There's no doubt about that. His first half ERA was 2.84. His second half ERA was 4.01. Cost them some serious Rookie of the Year consideration. I believe it was Mike Soroka who came in second to Pete Alonso last year. Okay, but even with that climb in ERA from 2.84 to 4.01 in the second half, his batting average against remained almost untouchable. On this season, his batting average against was at 202. First half was 194. A crazy number. Players hitting 194 against him. In the second half, when that ERA skyrocketed to 4.01, people still weren't hitting him awfully hard. They were hitting only 218 against him. Okay, home runs per nine innings climbed a little bit, almost 1.5 home runs per nine. That's right on the fringe of where I want it to be. I don't want to see two home runs per nine innings. To me, that's getting a little too high. All right, my only concern, and it's my only concern making Chris Paddock my number one guy, is how many innings will he throw this year? He was shut down in September at 140 and two-thirds innings. He's still only 24 years old, slated to be the Padres' number one starter this year, but only 140 and two-thirds. If we get 170 innings out of him, I'm thrilled with that number. But for me, and it's me, I want my number one guy, that ace, to give me 190 to 200. Okay, more innings, more strikeouts. That's just logical. Okay, even with his 10 Ks per nine innings, I need more than 170 for my number one guy. Going round four, round five, if he's sitting there in round five, and I'm able to grab him as my second starter, I love what I've now got. Because I got that ace, and now I got that second ace. He's going to probably give me a little less innings, but give me a boatload of strikeouts. Chance at some wins. He won nine wins last season on an improved Padres team. His ERA should be better. He should not tire down the stretch. He should be able to finish the year stronger than he did last year. And that whip is tremendous. Okay, last season at 0.98. Another guy, because of his low walk rate and the inability of other teams to hit him, will keep your whip terrific. You keep it below one, you're at a Cy Young type of level there with Chris Paddock. Number three, and this one I like a lot later in the draft a little bit, after round 10, and that's Zach Gallen. Started the season with the Marlins, came out like gangbusters, in a surprise was traded to the Diamondbacks mid-season. Okay, right now slated to be the D-backs' fifth starter, and I'm okay with that for a young kid with a veteran staff that added guys like Madison Bumgarner in Arizona. Current ADP has him going at 135 in the NFBC. You're looking at round 11, round 12 in a 12-team league. Now, last season, between the two teams, he pitched to a 2.81 ERA with a 4.15 xFIP. But we need to also pay attention to his AAA numbers. Because keep in mind, he only pitched 80 innings last year at the big league level between two teams. Prior to coming up at the AAA level for the Miami Marlins, he pitched to a 1.77 ERA. And you talk about strikeout rates, his was even better than Chris Paddock's. Zach Gallen's strikeout rate at the major league level between the two teams was at 10.8. Prior to that at AAA, it was sitting at 11 Ks per nine innings. He struck out 29% of the batters he faced in the big leagues last year. The best of the starting pitchers I will mention here today. But what is my concern then? You're saying, Anthony, he's going round 10, round 11. What's the concern? Well, number one are the innings. 80 innings pitched at the big league level last year. Arizona has him slated to be the fifth starter. He will be protected throughout the year. I can't expect more than 140 innings out of him, and even that potentially is a reach, 140, 150 innings. Number two is the walk rate that he developed when he came up to the big league level. At AAA, he didn't walk anybody. It was at 1.68 walks per nine innings. At the big league level last year, he walked just a tad over four batters per nine. That's a dangerous number, four walks per nine innings. 11% of the batters he faced walked. Now, he didn't give up home runs, so that saved him a little bit. His home run was 0.90 home runs per nine innings, less than one homer per nine. So when you're walking batters, you have to keep the ball in the yard. That's what Zach Gallen did. WHIP was at 1.3. That's what four walks per nine innings will do. It'll bump that up a little bit. Batting average against was minuscule. Like I said, Paddock's was 202. Zach Gallen's was 211. Another elite level number. 40% of the time he was hit hard. Again, my big concern, only 80 innings pitched at the big league level and that walk rate. Let's cut those walks in half. Get me from four to two and a half walks per nine innings. Keep that home run rate under one home run per nine innings. Keep that strikeout rate at over 10 to 11 Ks per nine. And another elite level pitcher. Round 11, round 12 as my third or fourth starter. I'm actually okay with that as well. He fits there for me. Okay. Now, the truth is, I won't have him and Chris Paddock. It's not a team development, a team construction, I should say, that I want. I don't want two guys potentially on innings limits. So I don't want two sophomore pitchers on one team. All right. I'll look for a veteran in the Paddock spot or in the Gallen spot. You know, if I could get Paddock, I'd do it. And then I kind of erase Zach Gallen off my board at 11 or 12 as my third starter. Now, if Zach Gallen slides to 15, 16, then that changes everything. But right now at 11 or 12, I like him. I like him a lot. I got to watch that walk rate this year with him. But overall, I think he fits fine, stays healthy. Innings will be a limit, though, with him. My fourth and fifth starting pitcher on my list is Dakota Hudson of the St. Louis Cardinals. Okay, at the lowest ADP of anybody on the list at 274, he's going rounds 22 and 23. 25 years old, slated to be the third starter on the St. Louis Cardinals this year. And you look at his numbers overall and you go, Anthony, why is a 16-game winner with a 3.35 ERA going in rounds 22, 23? Zach Gallen won three games last year. Dakota Hudson won 16. I'll take Dakota Hudson. No, you won't. It's a mistake. You're chasing a number that might not be repeatable for Dakota Hudson. Now, first thing, a 3.35 ERA with an xFIP of 4.55. He ran into a ton of good luck last season. He doesn't strike anybody out. His K rate was at 7 Ks per 9 innings. 18% of the batters he faced struck out. No thank you there. It's just not high enough. And then double that low K rate with a very high walk rate of 11%, 4.43. Okay, Zach Gallen walked the same amount of batters essentially at the same rate, I should say, as Dakota Hudson. The problem was with Dakota Hudson is he's not saving himself by striking people out. Zach Gallen has the ability to get himself out of a mess. Dakota Hudson doesn't, okay? Batting average against was 242. He had the highest WHIP of anybody on my list at 1.41, okay? 41% of the time he's hit hard, and he did pitch 174 innings. Doesn't throw hard, so we keep him out there longer. He is not an uber prospect by any way, shape, or form in Major League Baseball. Round 22, round 23, Dakota Hudson is strictly a win chase. He's a streaming option. I talked about strikeout pitchers later in the draft. I'll take one of them. Give me Desclafani. Give me Joey Lucchesi, if they're available at that point in the draft. I will chase the Ks, okay? An 18% strikeout rate with an 11% walk rate is not something I want, even in round 22, 23. Don't be blinded by the 16 wins. Don't be blinded by the 3.35 ERA. Now, you know, Dakota Hudson has never in the minor leagues been more than 7 Ks per 9, and he's always been more than 3 walks per 9. He's kind of what he is at this point. He's a low strikeout, potentially high walk pitcher, could pick you up some wins, but the ball's going to be hit on him, and if he walks batters, it's going to hurt him because he doesn't have a knockout pitch to get himself out of trouble. Round 22, round 23, I'll look for a strikeout pitcher, somebody with over 8 Ks per 9 innings to add to my roster at that point and not go looking for a guy who could potentially win me double-digit victories 2 years in a row. And finally, the one reliever on my list, and that's Nick Anderson of the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, older than everybody else, he's 29 years old. He's going overall at an ADP of 190 on the NFBC. He's round 15, round 16, but you're going to see that rise as Tampa Bay has made some moves in their bullpen, opening up the path for Nick Anderson to be potentially their closer. Okay, competing with Jose Alvarado at this point for saves, but the talent is there for Nick Anderson to run with this. Now, last season, 65 innings out of the bullpen. Okay, in a middle relief role, I believe he had one save. That's going to go up this year. Give me 25 saves, potentially 30 saves on a team in Tampa that should win 90-plus games. He pitched with 3.32 ERA. He's the only pitcher on this list whose ERA was higher than his xFIP. His xFIP was 2.44. You talk about a pitcher who actually pitched to bad luck and was still successful. That's Nick Anderson. Now you say, Anthony, what do you love about it? Well, what do you think about a 15 strikeouts per 9 innings power throwing closer? I'm all in on that. As my second closer, I'll take a more established closer early and take that flyer on Nick Anderson in round 15, 16 as my relief pitcher number two. He struck out 42% of the batters he faced last year. Just a crazy, crazy number. Doesn't walk anybody. 2.4 walks per 9 innings, only 7%. His home runs per 9 innings were 1.11, and his whip was a minuscule 1.08. Hitters only hit against 213 against him last year. Innings aren't a problem. He's a reliever, potentially a closer, should be the closer in Tampa Bay, and I will draft him as such at this point in the middle of February. Things change at the end of March. Then, you know, you could play with that a little bit, readjust. But even if I end up with Jose Alvarado as the Rays closer, Nick Anderson will still end up on my team. Because to me, a powerful eighth inning guy who's going to strike out 42% of the batters he faces in later in the draft. Because if he's not the closer, he's going to drop. He won't be round 15, 16. He'll be after round 20. I'll take Nick Anderson over Dakota Hudson every single time in an attempt to pick up strikeouts. Okay? Nick Anderson pitches 4 innings a week. You're looking at a guy who's going to strike out 8 batters in those 4 innings. Okay, Dakota Hudson's not striking out 8 batters in 2 starts in a week. It's just not happening. So give me Nick Anderson over Dakota Hudson every single time, regardless if he's the closer. And if he is the closer, grab him. If he's going in there in round 15, 16, maybe even reach a little early, grab him round 13 and make sure you lock him up. Because it's a good team, 90 wins in Tampa plus. You're looking at 30 saves and an astronomical strikeout rate. All right, everybody, follow me on Twitter at @AnnieAnnofantasy. Make sure you check out all the great content here on Rotoballer's YouTube channel. Subscribe and check out all the videos I've produced to help prepare you for the 2020 fantasy baseball season. Head over to rotoballer.com, like I said, and use that promotional code ACES. Save yourself a few dollars on the premium package and the draft guide. I'm Anthony Anniano. We'll see you next time. Have a good one, folks.